I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
I'm going to quote some scriptures because today the title of my message is Being Real in an Unreal World. Catching God's perspective on things is so critical. And some of the scriptures that talk about change is in Ephesians 4, 23, 24. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which was created according to God in true holiness and true righteousness. Then you got Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what the good and effective and perfect will of God is. Well, the will of God is pretty easy. That's move into holiness and take on the very nature of Christ. And that's in Galatians 5, 22, 23, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's why in John 15, and Jesus talked about the vine, you are the branches, if you don't bear fruit. The fruit you bear is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience is what is quoted. So that's what we're moving towards. Number three, and the final one, is in 2 Corinthians 5, 17. It says, if any person be in Christ, behold, he is a new creation. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And becoming new as we begin to catch God's perspective on things. As the Word of God is washed in the Word and led by the Spirit into truth. That's so important. I think it's a good idea. I'm just going to share one of my journeys with Christ today and share some things that I think will really help you. It sure helped me. It's good to have one or two people that you really love and trust, and they love and trust, you know, love you. And have them from time to time point out some things that need to be changed in your life and receive it. I walked in the office of my son, Bruce, and one of the other staff members were in there, and he said, hey, Dad, you need to work on something. I said, sure, what's that? He says, you're a reactor. I said, no, I'm not. He said, there you are. Work on it. I worked on it really hard. And they were doing a crusade up at the Skagit Valley College in Louise, Palau. And I'd become pretty good friends with Elise, and I'd go up and see him at the Furs in Bellingham. And I felt like that's what I was going to be, an evangelist, winning souls to Christ. That was my heart, always will be and always has been, to the lost. And so we got to be good friends. He'd stop in the wrecking yard and talk to me. And so when they put on the crusade, they invited churches to participate. Some did, some didn't. And with the pastors, we'd gather, and he'd meet with us and talk about the crusade and get ready. And I was going to be a counselor for those who got saved, and we'd get a large number in our church from the crusade. And so we had a rally at one of the mainline churches prior to the crusade, and they asked our worship team, which my son led worship, to go ahead and do the worship. But they gave boundaries. You don't do this, you don't do that, you don't play this, you don't play that, which is okay. So they had the rally and everything went fine. I thought it was great. Next morning, all the senior pastors would be gathered and started talking. It was a long table, a lot of senior pastors. And I was sitting there, and this one pastor walked in a little late, and he says, I'll tell you something. If I want honky-tonk music, I'll go to the tavern. He says, that music last night, that don't belong in a church. And so the pastors are looking at me kind of, you know, like, oh, what are you going to say? And I've been working hard not being a reactor, so I didn't say nothing. I just sat there and enjoyed it. Kinda. And so I went back to church. I said a word. I was up at United General Hospital praying for someone. I was walking down the hallway. And you see, when you don't react like that, it allows God to react. Coming down the hallway right towards me was that pastor. And God had arranged that little chapel up there. There it was right there. He walked up to me, took hold of my arm, and he was a lot bigger than me. He pulled me in that chapel, set me in a chair, got on his knees, and he says, I want to ask for forgiveness. He says, that wasn't Christian what I did. That was your son. I said, well, you were just expressing your feelings. That's okay. I forgive you. You know, we became really good friends. Really good friends. It's so good not to react. I was asked to speak at a rather large youth group back when I was more involved with youth. And I suppose that night I did a couple things. I don't know. I didn't even think about it. That the main line didn't approve of. And the young people just had a great time. Man, we had a great time. Next morning, I was still in the wrecking business. I wasn't a pastor. The head man came down to see me. Boy, he was hot. And I knew he was hot. He sat down at my desk, and I just took his hand and said, "Let me pray for you." And I prayed for him. He said, "No, I'll let you go. I'll see you in a couple of days. And we'll carry on. I'm too busy." He left. Came back in a couple of days, and he sat on my desk, and he says, "First thing I want to do is apologize. I'm glad I didn't speak when I was hot." And I said, "I'm glad you didn't either." And we became great friends. Let me say this. Don't ever make a decision in the heat of a moment. That's how wars start. That's how divorces happen. That's how parent-child raising has a disaster. Always wait a couple of days or postpone it. That's what I always try to do. Let's come back to this. Think about it for a while. And that'll really help in many areas, especially in your business or wherever you're at in your family. It's a good thing. You know, one of the things that was very difficult for the Jewish people was to catch God's perspective. You take in John chapter 6, verse 30, 31, 32, right there. Jesus had fed the 5,000 the day before. And now they'd come back and they want him to perform another sign so they could believe. Because see, after all, if you're greater than Moses, then do something greater than Moses did. I mean, after all, he fed a nation for 40 years in the wilderness with manna. But you see, God authenticated Moses and he authenticated Christ. And the Father fed the man in the wilderness and they ate that and died. And Christ sent his only begotten Son because he was the living word. He was the living bread. In him is eternal life. Whoever partakes of Christ will never die. And so it's so important to catch God's perspective. Now, I got cards and letters when I was pastoring. And this one card, I thought, said it all. I never forgot it. He said, "It's a miracle we found his place. It was so opposite of what we came from." There's those times when we catch a new perspective of things, it just changes our life. Time when God touches us with a truth and we catch a new perspective of things. Oh, it was there all the time, but we couldn't see it. One of the things that is difficult, we'll look at certain things and we'll look at a certain part and focus on that part and can become locked in. And what we have to do is we have to let go to see the other part. When I was pastoring, I put up on the overhead a picture of an old lady. You've probably seen this. Inside the old lady was a young lady. The only way you could see the young lady was to let go of the old lady. So you have to let go. It's a real challenging being real in an unreal world, because there's nothing more unreal than to have a false perception in your marriage and in parenting or in your business. Mess you up real quick. So for the presence of Christ, the newness of Christ in my life, for him to flow in and through my life with New Testament impact that has an impact on my community and my family, then I have to deal with my perspective. Why is that so important? Because you will live life according to what you perceive as being real, unless you're emotionally sick or running from reality. You will live life according to what you perceive as being real. The illustration of that is, listen, your body will obey what your mind thinks is true. If you've ever been in Seattle on 7th, 8th Street, you're parked there by the stoplight on the hill, you're kind of daydreaming, all of a sudden you feel the car go backwards and you hit the brake real hard, only to realize the car wasn't moving at all. There's a car coming up alongside you real slow. But you see, your body obeyed what your mind thought was true. That's why in Romans 12, 2, we have to have our mind renewed in Christ. So we think on things that are real and things that are truth. One of the turning points in your life is to ask yourself a question. Am I a product of the cross or am I a product of my past? Am I a product of what my parents did or didn't do? The trauma I went through, the agony I suffered, or the frustrations I'm under? Am I a product of that? Or am I becoming a product of the cross? Now, when I got saved, yes, all those things happened. They're there. But the Bible tells me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm a new creation in Christ. All things are passing away. All things are becoming new as I catch his perspective. And it's so critical. Like I've told you before, I was in a lot of different ministries, but never in pastoring a church. And when God called me to pastor a church, I had no idea. I hadn't gone to seminary, hadn't gone to Bible school. I took correspondent courses from Fuller, but I physically didn't go. But I was down to a conference in California, International Conference of Four Square Denomination, at Angelo's Temple, where it originated, the Four Square Church. And there was an open floor, senior pastors. They could express their feelings or questions. And this one pastor says, I went to seminary, I went to Bible college, and you never taught me how to pastor a church, and I'm pretty upset about it. I felt real good after he said that. So the only idea I had, I thought, well, there was a televangelist that I kind of liked. He won a lot of souls to Christ, and that was my heart. So I kind of patterned after him. And one day in my prayer room, I was praying, and God says, go to Beaverton, Oregon, to Ron Mell's church. Well, I wish he hadn't sent me so far away. That's a long ways. So I got someone to take my Sunday morning, and Meryl and I went to Beaverton Foursquare. So on the Walker Road, I believe, I'd never been there. I'd only heard of Ron Mell. I knew he had a large church, but I didn't know anything about him. I looked up ahead, and I see all the flashing lights, the state patrol, police cars. I thought, well, that must be it. Sure enough, huge church, mega church. So I went inside, and I was just being real with God, and I'm sitting there trying to figure out what God wants to tell me. And the worship started, and I listened, and I said, well, Lord, our worship's better than this, I think. Really, I'm just being honest. Of course, my son, a little prejudice, my son's leading it, but I thought it was better. Ron Mill got up to speak, and Ron did a good message. I said, well, it's good, but nobody's going to get saved with this kind of a message, because I had my own perception. He said, those who'd like to receive Christ today, gave the altar call, lift your hands. And he said, yeah, over there in that one section I see, there's about 20, 25 of you. I said, Lord, I don't know nothing. I don't know. I thought I did, but I don't know nothing. What are you showing me? Church was dismissed. I went up and introduced myself from Maryland to Ron Mell, and he treated us like a king and queen. He's got this mega church. And we had this little thing in a wrecking yard, and man, I couldn't get over how he treated us. So I went outside and talked to people and asked them, why do you like the church? Why is this church so good? I got all kinds of answers, but none satisfied me. So I said, Maryland, we got to come back Sunday night. I got to figure out what God's telling me, because I don't know. So I went through the same thing, the worship, and Ron got up to a message. And I looked up there, and there was a sign above Ron's head. It said, Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I said, well, that's the motto of the Four Square, and it's in Hebrews. And I looked down and looked up, and it wasn't there. And I went, why? So I looked down, looked up, and it was there again. Okay, Lord, that's what you're showing me. Now, what's it mean? I'm blind. I can't see. I don't know what it means. And all of a sudden, click. Ron Mell is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Wow. You just want me to be real. Just be Larry. I came back home. I was so excited. I got out my golf clubs, did a message illustrating with my golf clubs and stuff. And when it was over, I still remember these two older ladies. Of course, they're far younger than me now. They come running up towards the front. And they says, Larry, don't ever change. I says, don't worry. I'm never going to change. I'm just a C average guy that loves the Lord. And so I go to this conference in Oregon, past senior pastor's conference, and there's Ron Mell. So I went up to Ron Mell, and I said, Ron, I got to tell you a story. And I told him a story about what happened at his church, and he started crying. And I said, did I say something wrong, or what's wrong? He says, you don't know what you said. He said, I went to Fuller Seminary. I went to Bible college. And I started pastoring this church. And for 2 years, I didn't grow anybody. And so one day I got on the floor. I like you, I spent a lot of time in prayer. He said, I got on the floor and just laid out before God and said, Lord, am I to go back and sell shoes? Or am I to pastor a church? What do you want? The only way I'm going to know is I'm going to go hide. And I'll lock myself in a room. Somebody comes and knocks on the door. Like, I'm not answering. I want him to beat on the door and say, Ron, I know you're in there. Come out. So he said, I did. After some time, somebody came by and went, I didn't answer. He said, a long time after that, he said, I began to wonder, maybe this is the answer. Somebody came and they beat on the door and they said, Ron, we know you're in there. Come out of there. He said, well, I knew that was God. So I went back in my office and got on the floor and laid out before the Lord. And I got to put this in my mouth. Otherwise, I'd go in a coughing fit. I haven't conquered this bronchitis yet, but I'm working on it. And he said, I got on the floor and just honest with the Lord like you were. He said, there was a sign. Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And like you, I said, well, that's the four square motto, and I know what it means. It's in Hebrews. And he says, that sign wouldn't go away. And then finally, Ron Mel, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just like you got. And he says, I was so freed, I just became Ron Mel. Just plain old me. And he said, look what God did through plain old me. And he says, you go back and be plain old you. That's who he called. And watch what he does. Because he's the one doing the doing, not you. You just allow it. So it's incredible being real. I think there's a beautiful picture in the prodigal son. What I'm talking. You got two brothers. One was younger than the other. They both got their inheritance. And the young one, his perception was, you go to the big city and you live it up. Party, loose life, girls, all that. A lot of people today. And after he squandered all his money and there's a famine, he wound up in a pig pen. A lot of us have been there. Just don't make it your den. When you're there, catch a new perspective. And he says, you know something? My father's servants have it better than this. At least they have something to eat. So he did this little rehearsal thing. He said, go home, I'll tell my father I've sinned against heaven and against before you. I'm not worthy to be your son. I'll be a servant. And he headed towards home. And when he's a distance off, there was the father watching for him. That's a picture of God. Now the thing to catch here, he didn't wait for his son to get to him. He ran towards him. Grace will always run towards you, never away from you. Embrace it. That's what he did. He embraced his son, kissed his neck, gave him a robe, sandals on his feet, a ring on his finger, killed the fatted calf, had a party. Now the older son, he was out in the field working. When he came back, he wondered, what's going on? What's happening? Well, your brother is lost, but it's now found. He was dead, but now he's alive. And they killed a fatted calf. They're having a party. How'd he respond? With anger. See, he had a victim mentality. He was a picture of the Pharisees. Love, acceptance, and forgiveness wasn't part of his nature. I did everything you asked me to do. I worked hard. Now listen to what the Father said. This is a word from God to you. Everything I have has always been yours. He never caught it. He lived in that little narrow container of a victim mentality because he never caught what God had for him. And God's saying to us this morning, everything I have is yours. All I'm asking, you be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let me work in your life. Let me handle all the situations and watch what I can do. Because I'm Lord. God bless you.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.